Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going to pop in here for a couple minutes? I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
I'm a good friend with Wonstadt as well. And what's his drink of choice, by the way?
Usually a Manhattan.
Bourbon.
Or Terry Bradshaw bourbon.
Yeah, exactly.
Bourbon. All right, good. I'm an old-fashioned guy myself.
Football analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
Dave Wonstadt, the defensive coach, and he's a well-done guy like you, but he's also a ketchup on top guy. Tell us you're not a ketchup human on a steak, Booger.
No, ketchup doesn't belong on a steak. However, if you subscribe to the theory that I just said, that it's the same piece of meat,
yeah.
Would you put ketchup on a hamburger? Absolutely. So I'm not going to punish Coach Wonstadt for that, although I wouldn't do it.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
It's 5:00 somewhere.
The good vibes continue with Dave Wonstadt. You can see him on our Twitch stream and YouTube stream. He's on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He has a cocktail poured and a very swaggy watch. A red band, the diamonds around the end, some blue, some yellow. What's going on your wrist, Coach?
I got a bunch of buddies coming over to house tonight. And we're going to head out and grab a bite to eat. So this is kind of my fun watch, as my daughters call it. You know, when I wear this, I'm looking forward to having a little fun. There's a story behind this watch, as always, Danny.
Of course there is. Please, go on.
It's called a Jacob. And I was co-chairing my wife, Jan, and I. We were co-chairing. When I was coaching the Dolphins, the Boys and Girls Club, Fort Lauderdale. And the gentleman that was co-chairing with us, actually putting up the money, his name was Ray Anthony, and he was a Pittsburgh guy. And he owned the largest crane company in that part of the country. Yes, he was a pretty powerful man up there and in that business. And I'm sitting at the table. And one of his guys came up to me, and I was sitting next to him, and he leaned over and he said, "Mr. Anthony really appreciates what you and your wife are doing. He'd like you to have this watch." And I said, "Oh, I need no watch. I'm doing this, you know." No, he said, "No, Mr. Anthony doesn't say no. You know, he don't want to take it." So I take it, go home, and I call one of my kids. I said, "I got this watch, this funny looking watch, some diamonds and out on it. Check, is it worth anything, Jacob? What, you know?" And they Googled it and they said, "Yeah, it's worth about 10 grand. So it is what it is.
Just get handed a 5-figure watch for doing something for charity.
I'll wear it in the studio someday when I get up for a live.
Oh, thanks, Coach. What a guy. Wear it with one of your many championship rings. Listen, if you want to gift Shane or Tanny a 5-figure watch, they'd be happy to accept.
Nah, Coach, we'll pick you up if you're going to wear that watch in the studio, okay?
Yeah, and I don't want you getting hurt, Coach, and I don't want to take one of your watches from you, so don't listen to Danny. You keep them all. You earned them.
Yeah, sound like you earned that one.
there's a half a chapter right there, because there's a lot more to the story. Ray Anthony was supporting – Lynn Swann was running for governor when I was coaching Pitt. Fast forward, okay, about 6 years. And Mr. Anthony was supporting Lynn Swann, and Lynn and I are good friends. So that's another story and another watch.
Oh, another watch, of course. And you guys heard it. Dave keeps dropping these hints on these verbal contracts. He says that's half a chapter right there. But the book is out, Pipeline to the Pros. It's out on the 16th. I know your daughter saw some of the press around it. It's a real. I have one ready for you when I see you in town soon. Want to give it to you in person. I feel like I feel like you're softening on the idea of me writing your book and telling these stories.
You know what? You're getting great reviews on that too. I have really. I'm looking forward to reading it. Seriously, I mean, well,
thank you.
Great job, Danny. Really,
thank you. Thank you. No, I can't wait to give you one, and it would be an honor to get all of these incredible stories in print. And you know, I'll have a couple of bourbons, and then you'll start telling all the good stories on the record. We'll put it in print, and we'll Wani, the most interesting man in football. We'll make it a New York Times bestseller. And you're going to be a part of our draft show, which is very exciting.
I am.
2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today.
Yep, I'll be there. I'm actually going to be in Chicago for, almost 2 weeks doing a bunch of stuff. The Big Ten Network's doing some, but I'm going to be there on draft night. For 2-3-4 hours. In fact, Tony Wise is flying. He's coming through going somewhere. So I think I'll bring Tony with me because he loves Pat Manley, and I'll be working with Pat and Hub Arkish. And I don't know what else shows I'm doing. I'll be in on Tuesday with Molly. And you guys, you having a show that Thursday on draft day?
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're going to Shane and Spiegs and myself are driving to Detroit, and we're going to do the show from Detroit. And you and Manley are going to be back here in the studio as the analysts, and we'll be there in person because I needed to be at a Buffalo Wild Wings about 2,000 yards from the stage when Caleb Williams became a Bear. It just felt like something I needed to do, Dave.
There you go. No. Okay, good. Well, that'll be a fun night. Absolutely. And yeah, so I don't know. I'm going to do two or three. As much as I can do there, I'll be available.
Well, no, and we've got to – hopefully we're going to get that dinner. I think it was – I don't even remember what the bet was. Was it the Super Bowl that Dave lost the wager to me on? You owe us nachos and margaritas.
That's right, I do.
Yeah.
I'm good for it.
I know you are. And if not, it can be a watches payment. It's fine. So have you come to terms with the inevitability of Caleb Williams, number one in the Bears?
Oh yeah, no, I'm all in. I mean, the guy, obviously I know Matt Leinart and all those guys out there, Southern Cal, pretty good. So I've talked to enough people, I've watched enough tape, I've talked to ex quarterback coaches that have evaluated all these quarterbacks. I've talked to NFL coaches who've evaluated all these quarterbacks, and there's no question that the guy has the talent. I don't think that Chicago, from a standpoint of media, is going to be too big for him. I coached at USC. You guys know that. You know, Southern California, the attention that you get out there of Heisman, and this kid's been exposed to everything. So doing a press conference in Chicago is not going to be anything new for him, or I don't think intimidating for him. He's just going to have to I think come in and commit himself that this is it. You know, there's no turning back now. There's a lot of people in this city. There's a lot of people in this organization, players, coaches, front office, general managers that are counting on you playing as good as we don't expect you to be Patrick Mahomes, but we do expect you to be as good of a player as you can possibly be. And, I have no reason to say he wouldn't do that. So, yes, I'm all in, and I get why they did it. You know, I was the guy reading it saying I love Justin Fields, but I was also the guy saying the thing that separates quarterbacks, you're down by 10. How many times have I said that on your show?
Yeah.
With 6 minutes to go, can your guy, when they know you're going to throw and you know you have to throw, is your guy capable of taking them down the field twice and scoring and winning the game? And we never saw that out of Justin. So, it's an exciting time for Chicago and for the Bears. And, I'm all in. I'm looking forward to getting up there at OTAs and minicamp and seeing them and being part of it.
So what do you think is best case scenario for Ryan Poles with the 9th pick?
Wow. I'm always going to lean defense because those pass rushers, we still need another pass rusher. We all agree on that. You know, I evaluate all those pass rushers. The best one, in my opinion, is Latu, the guy from UCLA. You know, But, you know, there's a lot of people. Some people don't like him because of the injuries and the medical part.
I don't get that, though. Like,
a lot of people love him. A lot of people love him. I think this kid will be the first defensive pass rusher off the board.
Okay, that's interesting. So, wait. So, help me understand it, because I understand. He was at Washington. He has the neck injury. They don't clear him medically. UCLA clears him medically. And he has two great seasons. Like, I would understand if he had just had the neck injury and there were, but like, I don't really get why teams would be afraid of the medical if he has put two good seasons together since the injury. It's not like he's coming off an injury. He's put two good years since the injury. So why the concern?
Well, because there's a red flag that said he failed a physical by educated doctors at the University of Washington. And what happens with these doctors is now, UCLA passed them. Are you willing to put your name on this thing that the neck is not a problem? Because we're not going to get this kid in the seventh round. If we draft him, we're going to have to draft him possibly in the first round to get him. And are you willing to put your signature on there saying that he is healthy? That's where the problem comes in. I think it's not from a football standpoint. It's just getting a doctor to say he's healthy. And then if the kid comes in and hurts his neck, now all of a sudden there goes the first round pick and the money and on, and now the doctor gets fired. So, I mean, that's, I think, the issue.
But you think he's better than Dallas Turner?
Dallas Turner doesn't play the run for me. Dallas Turner is an outside linebacker that's got a ton of ability. He can dip. He can run like crazy. He can accelerate. He's got a good first step. You know, he's not Will Anderson, so don't fall into that trap, people. But I just had a problem with him when I see people come off the – Will Anderson would be double-teamed, and he'd split a double-team and make a tackle in the backfield. This kid gets double-teamed and gets knocked 4 yards off the ball. You know, he doesn't use his hands – real well. Mainly I'm talking run now. Pass, he's good. But he's mostly just athletic ability and speed and dip, and he can do all those things. And, you know, he's a great kid. You know, the guy that I like that it might be – you're concerned about Latu, the guy that I like that I think is the most complete defensive end, play the run, play the pass, everything, is the Verse kid at Florida State.
What worries me about him is that he's older than everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this guy's worked his tail off. This guy, when he came out of high school, he was on a state relay team in track. He was an all-state basketball player. Okay. This kid out of Pennsylvania, I recruited a kid out of the high school where he's from, Southern Columbia. It's a small school. That's why he went to Albany, okay, New York, and didn't get any offers. You know, we recruited a kid out of there, Henry Hanoski. The guy was a starting fullback for Tom Coughlin in the Super Bowl. He was my starting fullback at Pitt for a bunch of years. So it's good football where he came from. And I don't know. I like him. I don't, you know, the age, sure, you can talk about it. I mean, but I don't know. You know, I was talking to some guys when we were looking at statistics yesterday. I don't have them in front of me, of how many guys get their second contract. And you would be shocked at the number. Offensive linemen, or more than anybody else. But these defensive linemen and receivers and running backs, I mean, there's very few of them, I mean, that ever make it to their second contract. So I would look at it that if I can get this kid and he's ready to play and he'll play the run and the pass and do what I want to do, I'd draft him now and worry about it 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah, no, it's not as much about that, because I hear what you're saying. It's not as much about that. It's I'd worry about the production that he had in college. Was it just that he was beating up on 19-year-olds? I mean, the guy's Aiden Hutchinson's age.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear your point, but
okay.
I don't see that. I mean, I don't think that has any bearing on it. I mean, the guy's a player, the guy's an athlete, the guy's a tough guy. I like all the intangibles about him.
Last defensive player I wanted to talk to you about, because I know you, this will shock you. I'm not at all surprised you want to go defense at 9, and I know it will not shock you at all that I want to go offense at 9. But Byron Murphy.
Who do you like? Who you taking?
I mean, if Odunze is there, I'm taking him. If Neighbors is there, I'm taking him. If it goes eight offensive players, if it goes four quarterbacks, three receivers, and Joe Alt, then I think that's worst case scenario. But you take maybe the best defensive player on the board. But I wanna pair Caleb Williams with a young blue chip offensive player that he can grow with. Keenan Allen will probably only be here 1 year. If it's a left tackle and you upgrade from Braxton Jones, great. If it's a awesome wide receiver like Malik Neighbors who can play inside and learn from Keenan Allen, great. If it's a great wide receiver who can learn from DJ Moore on the outside, awesome. Like I want to – how much more does this defense need invested in to be top five with a defensive head coach? Like, throw more resources at making sure that you finally hit on quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I would take a center. If we could get that kid from Oregon, I think it's Oregon.
Yeah, Powers Johnson. I mean, that's too early at nine, though, right?
Yeah, it probably. But if the guy's going to start for you for 10 years, I don't think it is. But anyway, I'd trade out of it probably. I would. I mean, you know, I think what the Bears got to decide, do they want a slot receiver? Because you're talking Neighbors. Or do you want a outside receiver? And how do they see DJ Moore for the next 3 or 4 years? Is DJ more valuable to him inside or outside? And people may not say, well, they all play one. Well, they do, but they don't. Neighbors had the highest yards after the catch of any receiver last year that we're talking about, the top guys. That's what he does. He is in my opinion, a slot receiver that you can't cover. Him and the kid helped me out here from Texas. Is it McConkey?
Yeah.
I'd take him tomorrow. He's going to play 10 years. I signed Wes Welker when he was on the street. If this kid isn't a Wes Welker, the guy runs, except you know what the difference is? This guy runs 4.4. Wes was probably a 4.65. This guy, but that's my point is, do the Bears want an X receiver, an outside guy, or do they want a slot? That's what they got to decide, in my opinion.
So last defensive player, though. Flus has still not gotten a premium investment in a three technique. I know they drafted Dexter and Pickens last year. Is Murphy good enough for nine?
Yes, he's good enough for nine. Johnny Newton's good enough for nine at Illinois. I mean, Johnny Newton will make more plays than Murph. You know, I mean, you want a playmaker, or, you know, Newton's more of a quick finesse run around guy, or you know, Murph's the bigger, stronger guy. But you know what? I don't think we need a defensive tackle. I would give these young kids a chance. Dexter and
Pickens. South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I would give these guys a chance to get better. And Billings had a heck of a year for him last year. That wasn't the problem at all. They played the hell out of the run, and they'll continue to get better. I would not go three technique. If I'm going to go anything on defense, I'm going, I don't know who canceled the word, Danny. Yeah, somebody who canceled the word defensive end. Why is it an edge? I'm going to call it defensive end.
Okay? Defensive end is, yeah, no, that's not going to get you canceled in 2024. Okay. Well, no, yeah, you'll be fine.
Somebody canceled it. Now everybody's an edge guy.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, I would take a defensive end, a guy outside that can rush the passer off the edge and, if I was going to go defense. And then they got to decide with the receiver thing, you know, because there are some good receivers out there. God, the guy from, who's the guy from Washington? The other guy, what's his name? Polk. There's one of those guys that reminds me of Debo Samuels. I mean, the guy, I don't know, you know. We were going to take a receiver at Dallas in the first round. We were going to take, I got a baseball card here that says Rocket Ismail, number one pick in the Dallas Cowboys. 1991.
Yeah, I love that story. That would have
no chance. You'll see that on Netflix. I'm going over to Miami Wednesday. Netflix is coming in here. They're doing a big thing on the comeback of the Dallas Cowboys. So you'll see the baseball card and everything on there.
Yeah. So you're doing the Jerry Jones Netflix series. You've agreed to participate. The Jimmy Johnson crew has agreed to participate. Your film,
the inner circle. We're doing it.
The inner circle is all doing it. It's funny how that works. He gets in the Ring of Honor, and you guys all agree to do the Netflix thing. I can't imagine what could have possibly happened there.
There's more to it than that, but it's all good.
I believe. Well, that again, the book, Dave, the book, the Wani Chronicles, the most interesting man in football. How long are you sitting with Netflix? How long are you supposed to sit for?
I don't know. I'm going to probably be there half a day, and then I'm heading out, and we're heading down to the Keys. Jan's coming with me, and we're going to meet Jimmy at the Big Chill, and that's his restaurant down there. And
of course it is.
I don't know who else is showing up, but our attorney will be there, probably Nick Christian and a couple other people. But no, it'll be a good time.
So what other memorabilia are you bringing? You got your Rocket Ishmael card. What else are you? What other drink?
That's it. Right here. God bless all my memory, all my story.
Yeah.
They love me. I pulled out about 10 plays because I've met with them probably 3 times. I mean, this is going to, in their mind, it's going to rival the Michael Jordan. I mean, that's the effort that they're putting into it. You know, the Last Dance.
They're trying to do the same thing.
It's going to be 3 series. And so they're putting a lot of time and effort into it. And in fact, I think I was playing golf today. The guy went, they want to come over here Sunday, I think, and have breakfast or something and talk about the plan before I go over to Miami next week. And
big budget documentary, the pre-interview, you got, whoever's producing it, like, just a little tip from those of us who have done so much content with you: 1 bourbon before the shooting starts. Just to lubricate the stories a little bit, a little bit. We shouldn't be doing 9 a.m. interviews with Dave Wanstead. I don't like that. This has got to be like 1:30 in the afternoon after a cocktail or two.
Well, Jerry, it's really the gist of it. I think I was talking to Jimmy yesterday. He said, that Jerry, they want to really, I think, get to how did Jerry Jones basically take the NFL from millionaire owners to billionaire owners, and with all the TV stuff and everything else that Jerry does, and did. And so Jerry's got final approval on everything it's done. So, Jimmy and I were talking, we said, hey, how deep do we want to go on this thing? He said, let's go deep, but keep in mind that, we don't know what's going to, at the end of the day.
Right, they might cut it.
Yeah, but if we go too deep, it'll be cut.
No, but you should. That's what you should do. Like, the Last Dance was incredible, but there was stuff in there that was not that flattering to some people. And if it's,
right.
If he actually wants a chronicling of his life, it's not like you can leave out that him and Jimmy was the Cold War for 25 years. It's gonna be in there, and everyone knows that you were Team Jimmy. So tell the truth, and then if they cut it, they cut it. But tell the truth.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, and I've already gone through with these guys. They had no idea. Once I started talking to them, and I said, hey, I was there when Jerry signed his contract with Jimmy, and Tex Schramm called Coach Landry when he was playing golf in Austin, and then we jumped on Jerry's jet afterwards. I mean, I gave him just enough. And so, yeah, there'll be some good stuff come out of this.
Oh, I believe it. All right, we're going to do one more segment with Dave Wanstead. We'll talk about some of the things that that he is hearing about teams picking in front of the Bears in the draft. And there's a big thing in the news today that Dave has a small connection to. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wanstead.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
We're Spigs.
Dave Wanstead is with us, though as I look at his chair, he is not with us. So, maybe he's doing something. That's fine. A simple way to listen to our show, Bernstein and Holmes, Moley and Hall, and everything on The Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today, search 670 The Score, and take us wherever you may go. There's Coach. Hi, Coach.
I'm back. I tell you what, when's Shane going to put together a trip down here to Naples?
Dave, wake up.
I had to go out and take a sample. She is making some stuffed mushrooms. Oh, I'm telling you.
Dave, is the house ready to host people?
It's close, Janice. Yeah.
All right. Well, when you give us the green light on when the house is available to host people, I'm not shy. I'll throw my kids in your pool and drink your bourbon. That's not a problem.
Hey, Dave, of the four of us on the show, who do you think Jan wants to come stay there first?
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Probably Tanny.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Tanny.
We're Spigs.
Spigs needed the day off, Coach.
We're Spigs.
Seriously?
Yeah, he needed the day off. He heard you were coming on.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I've been telling my workers here? I now they're all repeating it. Like, they got, you know, different things going on at the house, and the guy's like an hour late, or one guy gets sick, and I said, you know what? You wouldn't last 1 week in an NFL training camp. That's what I tell them. So now,
it's so kind of you.
The joke is, they say, "Boy, Coach, that plumber, he wouldn't last 1 week in an NFL training camp."
I wouldn't last one practice. I'd be like Pat Manley when he lined up against Ted Washington or whatever. I'd be like, "No, sir, special teams are nothing for me. I'll go broadcast."
And we're gonna have some fun on draft night between Manley and Tony. And myself on how, I mean, we will have, and you guys up there, that will be a great show. Everybody better tune in.
Yes, it is going to be excellent.
Hey, Jan, I told him Tanny, Shane wanted to know who'd be the first one, probably Tan. Say hi, Jan.
Yes. Hi, Jan.
Don't say, she said, say hi, Jan.
Yeah, she's got to get a
thing. Hey, guys, come on down.
All right, we're coming, Jan. We're on our way.
Okay, we're here.
The mushrooms are outstanding, by the way.
Thank you. You weren't supposed to eat them yet.
Wow, that is a amazing relationship on a number of levels. She is an absolute saint, and you are you, Coach. We wanted, as a show, by the way, to pass along our condolences on the loss of O.J. Simpson. We were curious how you felt about that today.
Yeah, I guess surprised, you know, would be the first reaction, but it's what can you say? I mean, you know, God bless him. That's all.
Sure, that would be one thing to say. That'd be one thing. How old did you USC days, right? Is when you first met him?
Yeah, actually, yeah, USC days is when I first met him, and then he did a lot of our Bears games. I remember when he would come up and set up the old Hallis Hall, and we'd do interviews and stuff before the game. You know, that's when he was doing sideline with who I don't know who was CBS, NBC, whoever he was with at the time. So he was in Hallis Hall several times, but he would help us recruit out there at USC. Him and Marcus Allen, they were heavily involved and big part of that back in the day.
How was he as a broadcaster?
He was okay. You know, I'm trying to think. I think when he came in to do the better stuff, was he a sideline guy at that point? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think he was. Was he in the booth, Tanny?
I think he did a little bit of both, but yeah, primarily sideline.
Sideline, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think when he came to Chicago, I don't know who he was with, maybe Leslie Visser, maybe in that crew, but I think he was a sideline guy, because I do remember him being here, though, and sitting down and talking to him in Brian Harlan's office a couple times.
Okay. All right, so I'm trying to figure out when we have these experts on as we get close to the draft. Like, you know people, you hear from people, you still know people in the league. Then you talk to people who know, you know, people in the league. What do you think you know is going to happen? We know that Caleb Williams is going one. We know the Bears have the 9th pick. 2 through 8, what do you feel like you know is going to happen in that range?
The quarterbacks, all, you know, three other quarterbacks are going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. J.J. McCarthy, I think people like him. Some people like him more than they're letting on. I think they're trying to be sneaky about him. I mean, I heard yesterday from a guy that they, you know, that he could be the third quarterback. He could be the third pick in the draft. You know, so the point is that those guys are going to go. And then, you know, last year there were, in the first nine picks, there were four defensive players. I don't see a defensive player taken maybe before 9 or 10 this year. It could be 10. The top 10 picks in this year's draft could all be offensive players. Last year, four of the top nine were defensive guys. You know, I think those receivers, obviously, you know, Harrison and Neighbors. Neighbors and dudes, I mean, those three guys are going to be gone. And then, you know, Alt will probably be the first tackle taken.
I've got some hope that Odunze will be there at 9.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I do. I think it's a good bet. You know, I didn't realize he was as fast as he was. You know, and now there's people right now that, you know, I mean, they're talking about that the Neighbors guy, some people like him better than Marvin Harrison, if you can believe that.
Yeah, he's faster.
Faster, more fluid, you know. You know, he can, like I say, yards after the catch, he's the best in the whole college football. I mean, he'll be tough to handle with the ball. He got some Tyreek Hill in his, and you know, in his football ability wise when he gets the ball in his hands.
He kind of reminds me of, he's obviously bigger than Tyreek. He kind of reminds me of like those guys who could take a slant for 6 yards and then go 60, like Jamar Chase, Odell Beckham, guys like that.
Absolutely. Yep. And, but no, other than that, I don't think it's who's going to go as much, Danny, as what order are the quarterback going to go? What order are the receivers going to go? I think it's more that than actually who.
Do you get the JJ McCarthy hype?
Oh, I do. What did I say? Our first comment we were saying about Justin Fields. Can you take your team the length of the field and score? He took Michigan the length of the field twice and scored two touchdowns at the end of the game with 5 minutes and in overtime to beat Alabama. And that's not easy to do on the road. And, you know, and the other thing, too, the JJ that I think gets slighted. We know Jim Harbaugh is a hands-on quarterback coach along with head coach and certain coordinator, whatever he does. And Jim Harbaugh missed 6 games, guys. He missed half of the football season. So this kid was out there against, at the end of the season, the Ohio States of the world, without the head coach, yes, without the offensive coordinator, a change there, and Moore did a great job. But without the guy talking in his ear all the time, his quarterback coach, Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, I think the leadership that this kid, you know, people were talking about the other day. Remember when they said about Ohio State, oh, Coach Harbaugh's not going to be there. How's the team? Blah, blah, blah. And he said, bet on us. That's all he said. Bet on us. And he walked away, told the media. So, I mean, I think they like that this kid's got some substance to him. Yeah, there's, and he had a phenomenal workout.
Okay. All right. We will see you for the draft show. We'll hopefully see you before for some margaritas and Mexican food. Enjoy Jan's mushrooms tonight. Enjoy your fun watch. Enjoy Netflix and the Jerry Jones story. And we'll see you in Chicago in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. That's Dave Wanstead. Ladies and gentlemen, the man is plugged in, he knows people, and he gets gifted 5-figure watches for showing up for charity events. That is an amazing life that he leads, and I think we might be working on a project together at some point, which would be very, very exciting stuff. Tanny's OJ Goodfellas treatment in 20 minutes if you missed it. It is a remarkable audio accomplishment. Much like what Aaron Rodgers did today. He solved the case. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Pat McGann.
I feel like I'm in a garage on the south side, but you guys have an antenna. That's like the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score.
Conspiracy. But they called me in the process a conspiracy theorist. I'm not saying that was conspiracy, but...
Oh, boy. When Aaron Rodgers makes the show sheet for something that he said on a podcast, things are going to get weird. And we have the Goodfellas treatment of O.J. Simpson, dead today at the age of 76, from Chris Tannehill at 5 o'clock. But Aaron Rodgers, who said, we got to just focus on football, we got to cut out the noise, decided that it was a good idea to go on the I Can Fly podcast and weigh in and solve the mystery surrounding the death of JFK Jr.
And we need somebody who's willing to lay it on the line. That's what I love about Bobby. Think about it. They killed his uncle, killed his dad. We know CIA was involved, right? I mean, they can't declassify it because it's so damning. Mm-hmm. We know the FBI was involved. Hoover hated the Kennedys.
Yeah.
Hated them. Alan Dulles was fired as the director of the CIA after he botched the Bay of Pigs and tried to get Operation Northwoods to happen, to literally start World War III and invade Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
He was fired. He was on the Warren Commission. Alan Dulles was, as was Gerald Ford, who was the right-hand man of J. Edgar Hoover, who hated the Kennedys. Like, we know they're involved. But so Bobby loses his uncle, JFK, his father, RFK. His cousin dies in a plane crash when he was running against Hillary Clinton. Like, I'm not saying that was a conspiracy, but it's kind of a weird coincidence. Bobby's in danger.
I was wondering how he was going to stick the landing. Bobby's in danger.
Hard agree.
Bobby's in danger of getting 0% of the vote. Bobby's in danger of being declared mentally unfit to speak.
He believes in this country. He believes in the good in people, and he believes he can make a difference. That's somebody I can get behind, who's willing to lay it on the line. Because that is, like I said earlier, the archetype of everything we love about Luke Skywalker and Han Solo.
What?
Everything we love about Frodo and Sam and Aragorn and Gandalf and Merry and Pip. Right? Everything that we love about Gamora and Groot and Rocket and Drax. Like, And Chris Pratt's character.
Oh my God.
In Guardians. It's these people believe in something.
That's a fun movie.
Whoa, dude. He's a full-blown wackadoodle. He's just a guy who's going to get maybe 1% of the vote is Captain America and Frodo, and he's just naming a bunch of fictional characters. Talk about why he's inspiring. Okay. Wow. Hey. Guy can throw a football, though, am I right? That is something, man. That's something.
Luke Skywalker and Han Solo. Everything I love about Frodo and Sam and Aragorn and Gandalf and Merry and Pip, right? Everything that we love about Gamora and Groot and Rocket and Drax, like, and Chris Pratt's character.
Yeah, Robert Kennedy is like Han Solo. Never tell me the odds. Chewie, we're home. Laugh it up, Fuzzball. Okay, I don't know. That's your guy, Shane. That's your guy.
Whoa.
That's your guy.
Yeah, I think he's fun. I would never follow him into a fire, but I think he's fun.
That's good.
I got a platform to speak. Some people hate it. Some people want to shut me up. I mean, I got mentioned as a finalist to be, vice president on a ticket, and they've attacked me.
Yeah.
With some bizarre story from years ago. There was a third-hand account or something.
I don't even know. Okay.
Listen, man, go run for office. Go run for office if that's what you want to do. The guy, I got to say, the guy with hundreds of millions of dollars in lifetime earnings who is platformed on any show whenever he wants. I mean, all he does is do podcasts and do Pat McAfee shows talking about that he's being canceled.
It's because all he does is get numbers.
But I'm not saying that it's surprising that he gets booked on the podcast. Oh. I'm saying he's like, they're coming after me. They're trying to cancel me. Dude, you're on national TV 20 times a year.
Yeah. Maybe more than that.
Oh, I'm just saying for his opinions with McAfee. Yeah, you're right. Probably is more than that when offseason hits and the Tahoe Open and then obviously all the interviews that he does with the Jets. I mean, yeah, sure. You're on national TV 80 times a year.
Yeah.
Like, you're not being canceled, buddy. You're being disagreed with. You're being laughed at. But you're not being canceled. That is, he's Han Solo, Bobby Kennedy, and Luke Skywalker. And Chris Pratt's character.
I wish that we could isolate him and just be like, wow, that's an insane person, but damn, is that entertaining.
Sure, yeah.
But that's like the problem now. You can't even say that. Like, you can't even say that on the show. You can't say that on Twitter. Like, Aaron Rodgers, that's one entertaining dude with a lot of thoughts. You don't have to believe him.
You shouldn't believe him.
You don't have to.
Make
some good points.
I think the vaccine thing bothered a lot of people, and then the idea of him actually being on a political ticket gave it a different meaning than just like a normal wackadoodle. But that is a wild piece of audio that I laughed at and find entertaining also. So on that front, I'm with you. But is it a little scary how people can go so far off the deep end? Yeah, a little scary. And even if you're like, okay, that's 10% of the country that's completely lost their mind. That's 35 million people. that's not a small number of people. Tanny's Goodfellas treatment and a very special treat to celebrate the midday show being in Vegas will dominate our 5 o'clock hour. We're going to be giving you some updates on their trip to Vegas like only we can for our dearly beloved Score colleagues. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.